I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game. I'm perturbed. Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Ham and Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
Tattoos and Touchdowns on morelikeradio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. It's your boy Chris Espo. With me as always, Will Sweeney.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And super producer Joe C.
I'm not allowed to talk.
Yes, you are. Stop that right now.
This isn't ham radio.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We're a democracy. We're not a tyranny. Oh, no, actually, geez. We need you later on for the first pick of the regular season.
Oh, stupid picks of the week.
Yes.
I can do that.
Well, we have Baltimore-Denver on Thursday. It's going to be, thank God it's football time again.
That's it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
NFL kickoff. I always love Labor Day weekend because it means we're only a few days away.
Yeah, when I was younger, it sucked because, I always remember the U.S. Open for tennis.
Right.
No one really cares about tennis. But the U.S. Open for tennis and the first weekend of football always meant school.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was kind of like bittersweet, but then you looked forward to Sundays. We had the Tattoos and Touchdowns fantasy draft last night.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
What happened to your cable?
I don't know. I really don't know. It really pissed me off because I was looking forward to it. My wife threw together like an impromptu barbecue to top it all off. And I sat there and said, well, you know, we got a draft tonight. She's like, oh, I know. I said, don't worry. She's like, don't worry about it. We'll do it off our phones. Fantastic. And then all of a sudden, my cable and internet go out. So I was able to get, thankfully, I got it back up for at least for a little while. I was able to draft like 5 or 6 rounds off the computer. But then for some reason, I couldn't do it off my phone for the remainder of the draft. So I had to set it to auto pick. Which infuriated me.
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody for the turnout because, excuse me, I literally turned away about 10 teams.
Wow.
When we first started putting this together on another radio show, we were, bouncing the idea back and forth. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to have enough guys. And we were like, all right, well, if we get 10, we'll be in good shape. All right, well, we got 10. I think we're going to push it to 12. That'll be perfect. Holy crap. We have 14. So we had 14 teams, and we still pushed away 10. We almost had enough to make another league.
Yeah.
But next year, we'll think about expanding a little bit more. But to everybody who signed up last night, and for the most part, everybody was in the chat room. I mean,
yeah,
your problem notwithstanding. I mean, everybody else was there, and everybody was bantering back and forth.
Yeah, the only person that wasn't there was my friend Wayne, and I've spoken on a previous show. He's my friend who lives in England, so,
right.
So it was 1 o'clock in the morning for him.
Yeah, he wasn't staying up for an hour and a half draft. I'm going to say it right now, and it's no biased. Team to beat right now is Will's team.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's the Flying Teabags, by the way.
That's right.
Is his team name.
Which, by the way, there are two names. There are two team names in this league that I absolutely love.
One of them's got to be Vic's Doggy Daycare.
Vic's Doggy Daycare, Kira Massette, friend of the show, absolutely hysterical. I literally laughed out loud when I read it.
Yeah.
And then your lovely wife, Karen, with Sanchez's headband.
Yeah, she was trying for about a week and a half to try and figure out what her team name was going to be. And she's like, well, I want something football related. I said, well, there's play on words. I said, you could do 50 Shades of Ray for Ray Rice and 50 Shades of Gray. I said, you could do Rex Appeal for Rex Ryan and Sex Appeal. And I said, you could do a Rexless Marriage, Rex Ryan, Sexless Marriage. She goes, all right, I'll think of something. And she comes up with Sanchez's headband. Now, personally, I can't stand the name. I don't like it.
I think it's funny.
I told her last night that she writes in the chat room, wait for it. And I knew what was coming. I said, if you take Mark Sanchez, I'm drawing up the divorce papers right now. I said, I will get a notary, and we will draw up the divorce papers. And she drafts him, she writes, boom, Karen out. And I'm like, really? Like, we're a room away from each other because we won't draft together. I said, we're a room away from each other, and I just, no, stop it right now. by the way, we're on the TuneIn app. I'm going to give everybody the phone number to call in. The line is open. It's 908-854-4228. Again, 908-854-4228. If you guys want to talk a little Jets Giants, you want to talk about something local to you, you want to talk about fantasy, you have any questions, by all means, give us a call. We have Jeff Capellini calling in today. Jeff is from WFAN and CBSNewYork.com. That's two local New York spots. A great guy, friend of a friend, and he's gonna dissect a little Jets Giants for us.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that.
So, but like I was saying, getting back to the draft, not to talk too much on it, but we have a little bit of time. It's a PPR league, and anybody who doesn't know what a PPR league is, that's points per reception. So running backs and wide receivers are at a premium. Now, as I was drawing it up and I realized that we had 14 teams, I said, well, everybody's got to take two quarterbacks. We couldn't even push it to 16 teams.
Right.
It would have been way too many.
No. People would have been drafting backups as their second quarterbacks, and that just doesn't work out.
Because I said, as looking at it this way, that means 28 quarterbacks are going to be gone. Jacksonville's quarterback's not going to get taken. The Jets' quarterback isn't going to get taken. Lo and behold, Geno and Mark Sanchez both went.
I was thinking about Matt Sims.
Who should be the starter. Anyway.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. I said Cleveland's probably not going to get picked, and lo and behold, I think someone took Brandon Weeden on a flyer near the end of the draft. Everybody was kind of complaining about NFL.com last night. The site itself was very, very bogged down.
Right.
It's a very busy time for drafts.
Yeah.
Their server is overloaded. You really can't do too much about it.
Right. Although I've participated in quite a few fantasy drafts.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I really enjoyed, and it's kind of the geek in me, but as the draft was starting, they had Roger Goodell make his little draft speech,
yes.
And then every time your pick was up, your team's now on the clock.
Oh, it's great.
I loved it.
It's great.
But again, that's the geek in me.
Like we've said, fantasy football is Dungeons & Dragons for jocks.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I actually used to play Dungeons & Dragons, too.
So did I. I'm a nerdy jock. I can't help it. So, they give you on NFL.com this matchup screen, what you're going to do against the team that you're playing, the projected stats. And this week, week one, I get to play my wife. And they have my wife beating me by like 100 points.
What?
Exactly. I gotta look at this because I'm on the site right now, and it's Tattoos and Touchdowns is my team, and against Sanchez's headband, yuck. And according to this, I'm gonna lose 150-87. Like, no, Dikembe, it's not gonna happen.
Unbelievable.
They have Tony Romo slated down to get me negative -0.2 points.
It's not going to happen. He's playing the Giants.
The Giants have no secondary.
No.
She has RG3, Arian Foster, she had Reggie Bush. She took Victor Cruz. I laughed when she took him. He won't even make any of my fantasy teams.
I hope he burns you.
I'm hoping, actually, she winds up starting Eli Manning for the first week because they don't even know if RG3 is going to play yet. I think he's going to.
They got to start him.
But I think Eli Manning's going to have a better day against Dallas' defense than RG3 is against Philly. It's personal feeling.
I don't know.
And we got, I have Torrey Smith and Miles Olsen. I went running back heavy in the beginning. I went, because again, it's PPR. I took LeSean McCoy, first pick. I had a fifth pick in the draft out of 14 teams. And that's been like my lucky number this year. I've done three drafts. So far, four drafts so far, all of them have been number five. Weird, wow. Very weird. Common Sense, friends of the show, I had a draft right before them. Now, we set the clock for 2 minutes per pick.
Right, which is standard pretty
right.
much.
This dunderhead puts 5 minutes per pick.
Oh.
And it's on the same site. I said, I'm telling you now, if it doesn't let me draft my own show's league, I'm driving to Maryland and I'm going to hurt you. Like, I'm leaving right now. He's like, I'm sorry, I've never done this before. I said, and with good reason why you should never again. Stop it.
Yeah, 5 minutes per pick. This is not you're not picking with the pros. I mean, they get 15 minutes per pick in a regular NFL draft.
And if you're auto-picked, it takes the full time.
Right.
If you don't have a pick lined up yet. I literally was able to clock everybody on a sundial.
Wow.
So, anyway, regardless of the fact.
So.
Week four preseason just happened on Thursday. Every team played.
Yeah. They certainly did. Knocked out a...
I'm sorry. Did you want to talk about your team? I apologize.
No, it's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Selfish.
Yes.
Well, I mean, to mention it quick, again, I was having issues with my cable when I had to draft my team and help my wife draft her team at the same time because she's never participated.
Oh, I didn't help Karen. Not even a little bit.
You know what, though? Karen has a little bit more of a knowledge about football than my wife does. I love her to death, and my wife has come a long way since I met her. But she's clueless. Like, I told her, I said, you know, you want to get Colin Kaepernick? She's like, who's that? I was like, you watched him play in the Super Bowl. She's like, oh, okay. I'm just like, you know, unless it's like Peyton Manning, Eli Manning,
right?
A couple of Giants players, she's clueless. I love her to death, but, you know.
The only thing I taught my wife was, and it's about football, get your minds out of the gutter, it was about handcuffing.
Right.
I said, if you're going to take your starting running back, handcuff both of your starting running backs with their backups. Do it before anybody else can. And she did. She took Reggie Bush and Arian Foster. She handcuffed them with Michael LaShore and Ben Tate. I said, anything happens, I said, you got their backups.
Exactly.
I did the same thing with LeSean McCoy. The first guy I grabbed was Bryce Brown.
Right.
With Philly. The one mistake I made is I took Monte Ball. Any Denver Bronco fans, I don't think Monte Ball's going to start week one. I have a funny feeling it's going to be Ronnie Hillman. And I went to go grab Ronnie Hillman, and someone right before me took him.
Well, that's what was happening to me every time I wanted to get a running back. Like, I know this is a PPR league, so I wanted to get a receiver first.
Right.
So my first pick was Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
You know?
No-brainer.
My second pick was Andre Johnson. Two top-flight receivers. You know, going to get me points for yardage. They're gonna hit the end zone 1-2 times a game. You know, I'm going to be okay. But after that, I was like, all right, now I want to start getting to my running backs. Every time I had a running back in my sights, somebody picked him up. And I was like, really?
Right.
Come on, stop it now. You know, I wanted to pick David Wilson because I honestly think David Wilson's going to be a good running back this season. Yeah,
I had to grab him. And the one mistake I made is Darrell Scott was sitting out there because Andre Brown broke his leg in week four. And they think he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Personally speaking, I don't think he comes back at all this year. If he does, it's going to be in a very, very, very minute role.
I think his role was going to be kind of minute to begin with. I think he was actually going to be splitting carries with Darrell Scott. I think it was going to be an experiment. I think the number two running back competition was going to carry over into the regular season. Only because you don't know really what you're getting with either one of them.
Right.
So, but again, I mean, I had picked David Wilson as my sleeper running back. And you went and stole him away from me.
I'm sorry, but he's not a sleeper anymore. That's the problem. That game, people don't really put too much onus, I guess, on the preseason. That Jet-Giant game is a magnifying glass for everybody in the New York area.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there's any naivete when it comes to us doing a fantasy draft, but sometimes you want the homer pick. You want your guy.
Yeah.
There are certain guys I mark off the list that I will never draft.
Right.
There's two of them. Tom Brady, Victor Cruz. Never. Never, 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 never. I don't care if I have to be empty on those positions. I'm not drafting them.
Such a hater.
Yeah, I am. Only because, honestly, the money thing with Victor Cruz, one, and number two, I would literally kill and put blood on someone's head like Lion King and say Simba across their head for either one of them on the Jets. It's the truth.
Okay.
It's New York hate. It's New York hate. And I purposely wore a Dallas Cowboy jersey for you today.
I see that.
And I drafted Miles Austin, so he's part of TNT. David Wilson now with that huge run and the fact that they have no legit backup right now, he's your every down back.
Absolutely.
And any fantasy guy who has a book or has the internet, you don't even need the book. I bought a book. I haven't even opened it yet.
Yeah, I stopped buying books.
I've been, because I thought, I'm going to have a live draft here. I got to go here. We never wound up having the live draft. It's been all on the computer.
Right.
Which sucks. I like the live interaction.
There is definitely something to be said about a live draft. I've always enjoyed the live drafts.
It's so much fun. Next year, what I think Will and I were going to try to do is maybe if we have it in Staten Island, we go to Buffalo Wild Wings. They actually do host your draft parties, and we could talk to them. Maybe we can get some of the other shows on More Like to get in on with us. And
sure.
That would be fantastic. I haven't used the book. And like I was saying, with the second David Wilson breaks off an 82-yard, 84-yard run, and there's no backup, he automatically becomes second-round caliber.
Yeah, he actually jumped up in a lot of drafts. I was watching the NFL Network, and they were talking about how David Wilson went from being like a fifth, sixth-round pick to being a third-round pick at the lowest in most drafts.
Yeah,
and all because of Andre Brown going down. And the fact that David Wilson actually performed. My biggest concern with David Wilson, and I did say this when we talked about our fantasy sleepers, I hope he's over it, but I can't be 100% sure. He has an issue with fumbles.
Yeah, I've compared him to Tiki Barber. Barber had the big fumbleitis in the beginning.
But again, who fixed that problem? Tom Coughlin.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I do have some faith in him, but again, he is still young, so I hope he's listening and doing what he has to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. There's two head coaches that doesn't matter what the name is behind the quarterback, you want to look at them either in a fantasy league or as an up-and-coming running back. One of them is Tom Coughlin. The other one's Mike Shanahan.
Absolutely.
Terrell Davis, Mike Anderson, Alfred Morris, Roy Helu, Evan Royster. He's done it with nobodies.
Mike Shanahan, yeah, absolutely. He can make me a 1,000-yard running back.
Absolutely. And he builds.
And I'm fat and slow.
Yeah, we all are. He does it the right way. He builds from the offensive line back.
Right.
I don't care who my running back is. I don't care what his 40 time is. I don't care how much money he's making. As long as I have a left guard and a right guard that can pull out, and because he always runs power sweep, if I have fast pulling guards, I'm fine. And that's exactly what he has. He's had it in Denver, and he has it in Washington.
Right.
So just a real quick, in the other league, in the Common Sense League, sorry, my allergies are killing me today. I took LeSean McCoy and David Wilson. I wound up getting David Wilson in the fourth round in that draft.
Really?
He drifted. I took LeSean McCoy, Jimmy Graham, who was my absolute favorite this year.
I know that.
Jimmy Graham is my slit everybody's throat tight end. And one of our Twitter followers, Tanya, at I Yell and Hoot At, of course, she was doing auto pick, and of course, she has Jimmy Graham. I wound up taking David Wilson, and I have Russell Wilson starting, but he's got so many guys starting. He's starting two quarterbacks, two running backs, three wide receivers, a wide receiver running back flex, and a running back wide receiver tight end flex on top of a regular tight end.
That's a lot.
It's insane.
That's
insane.
A lot of players.
So I have Russell
Wilson.
So you
have like a 30-round draft.
For the most part, yeah. I have Russell Wilson and Joe Flacco. But the problem is he had 12 guys. You're starting two quarterbacks, which means you need to draft a third.
Right.
Okay? Because the bye week rolls and you got to substitute someone in.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take Geno Smith. I had to. Because there's no other starters. I have Geno Smith and Blaine Gabbert. Just in case Geno Smith doesn't start, I could sacrifice Blaine for 1 week.
Right.
It's a mercy killing.
Pretty much.
I took Michael Bush, backup running back in Chicago, because Matt Forte doesn't get any carries in the red zone.
No.
Michael Bush had more red zone touchdowns than Forte last year. He had five. That's points for me. On a short week, on a week where I'm kind of thin.
Absolutely.
I'll plug him right in.
Sure.
So. Phil was having a problem last night. Phil is Team Grimace.
Yes.
Just fantastic.
Yes.
He was having an issue with the site last night, but I was laughing because as soon as at 7:30 they give you the draft was at 8. So at 7:30 they emailed me a list of the draft of who's in draft order.
Okay.
And if I wanted to, I could change it. I was like, no, I'm not going to change anything. There's no reason to. If that was the case, I would have made myself 14th. He had pick number one. So I was like, well, Karen had pick number two. I said, you're not getting Adrian Peterson.
No.
I'm telling you that right now. Forget about AP.
Listen, I don't care what league you're drafting in. I don't care if you're a Vikings fan or not. If you're a fantasy football player, Adrian Peterson is your number one pick.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is last year people were getting him for a song in like week six.
But again, he was coming back from a serious injury. Nobody knew how he was going to be.
Right.
This year, he was 9 yards away from setting the single-season rushing record last year. You know he's going to perform this year.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would have liked to do is, and I hate this guy. I hate Toby Gerhart so much. But he's the guy in a lot of leagues that no one's going to take him towards the end. Like, I would have liked to see Phil take him at, like, the last pick in the draft just to grab him to say, all right, I got him just in case. Because a lot of the picks, when you have 14 teams and there's 17 rounds, the last three rounds, I mean, I took my kicker. I didn't care. I took two kickers and a defense in the last three rounds. Those are your in-case emergency break glass picks. You take your handcuff. You maybe you take a flyer on the backup quarterback to a team that you know. Like RG3's backup is Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you take Kirk Cousins and say, all right, if RG3 can't fly, I got him.
And it's always a possibility with RG3 just because of the way he plays.
Yes. So, anybody has any fantasy questions, obviously the number to call is 908-854-4228. Again, 908-854-4228. Joe, is our camera up?
Our camera is up, but not on the site. If they want to see the video, they're going to have to go to livestream.com direct, / tattoos and touchdowns. It should be functionable by next week.
No problem.
Because if it's not, we're going to call the police.
That's right. We're going to start making some noise.
Get them.
It's just we're in a transitional period right now. Now, there's new service coming in and everything like that. So there's a lot of work being done on the website. So all these little incidentals are like being, if you notice, we're not even on the roster yet on the when they go to the live shows. So I'm sure as soon as they get this all straightened out, we'll be right
we
back
will be shortly. Ahead.
Yes.
We're not overly concerned with it.
Well,
we're here.
I have to fix some video problems anyway. So.
Really quick, special shout out to Uncle Eddie and Ham Radio. I'm going to be calling in this Tuesday between 11 and 12 to try to save Joe Sweeze behind on the NFL picks and punishment. And
going to save me from getting tased this season.
Yeah, I actually texted Uncle Eddie this week. I'm like, all right, so what am I doing? Like two games, three games? He goes, no, you're doing all of them. I was like, well, let me tell my job that I'm going to be gone for an hour. I was like, all right, that's fantastic. He's like, you down? We're good? I'm like, yeah, we're good.
They're going to give you a whole segment, for Christ's sake.
They give me a whole hour.
We might have to pre-record that.
I know. You could do that, I guess, if you want.
The ham radio Viking funeral for Man Cave was hysterical.
Yes, it was.
And
I caught probably about half of it.
I already told Uncle Eddie we're stealing Hammy's eulogy that he gave for the show, because he had a few choice words for about tattoos and touch-ins. Good choice words, not bad choice words. And we graciously appreciate that, and we are going to definitely use that as a drop at some point for our show.
I'll isolate it for you, and I'll take it out.
Thank you.
Cool.
So. Cool. What do we got? Week four? Now we can do week four?
Yeah, we could touch on that real quick.
All right, good. We'll fast track before we take a break.
Sure.
All right?
Sure. So, week four of the preseason, everybody plays, knocked out. Roster cuts have been made now. Every team is down to 53 men as of 6 o'clock last night. Chris, take us into just a brief recap of the games.
Okay, I'm trying to pull this up here because NFL apparently NFL.com forgets that there was a week, preseason week four. The thing about week four is most of the starters don't play,
right?
So that's like those. I was actually looking on StubHub and the tickets for those games. Literally, the Jets Eagles game was $5 a ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, 50-yard line upstairs.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you've never seen a game, hey, it's not a bad way to take your family to the game.
Not at all.
Because sometimes kids don't know any better. Like, you know, there's not many kids that can turn around and go, hey, starters aren't playing.
You know, it's still exciting.
Of course.
Just to be there, have a hot dog, and enjoy the field. And
the best part about that game is all the backups. Those are the ones I love, the ones that are playing for a job.
That's it. They play harder than some of the starters.
100%. Honestly. 100%.
They're killing themselves out there because they want that roster spot. And they know at that point they're down to 75 guys. They know there's only about 18 of them that are out there that are actually going to make it. So,
and they know by midweek the Turk is coming.
That's it.
And who the Turk is basically the guy who turns around to you and says, "Coach wants to see you." Now it's bring your iPad, not bring your playbook, because every NFL player gets an iPad now,
right?
With their entire playbook on it. It's basically you're done. A lot of veterans will turn around to front office, and they have enough carte blanche, so to speak, to say, listen, if you're going to cut me, do me a favor and cut me in the first set of cuts in the early of the preseason so I can catch on with another team.
Absolutely.
Because if you're a backup center and you've been in the league 10 years, you could still catch on somewhere.
Absolutely.
But the rookies don't get that. Right. They don't get that ability to say, hey, you know, if you could do me a favor and just ax me now, you know, because if they catch on with a team, if they make the final 75, they receive a portion of their contract. If they make the final 53, they get their full contract no matter what, guaranteed.
Right, exactly.
For the year. So, veterans, I got a family to feed. Hey,
that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
And they get full health benefits while they're in the league.
Right. Oh.
And we had the concussion settlement this week, and yeah, we're going to talk about that next week because there's way too much going on right now.
Absolutely. There's an actor. You've heard of John, what's his name, John Amos?
Yes.
He's an actor. Sure. He's actually a former NFL player. And
he was on Good Times. He was the dad on Good Times.
Yep.
Yeah.
He actually wrote a poem about the Turk, called The Turk, and how basically his experience with the Turk coming to him and cutting him. Right. You know, it's actually, it's a little lengthy to get into, but look it up. You could actually, there's a whole video about it. I think I had posted it up on the Facebook page at one point.
We get a chance, we'll throw up the poem itself on the Facebook page.
I haven't been able to find the poem itself, but
I've
found the video of him talking about the poem and whatnot. It's really kind of cool. You got to check it out. We'll look for it and put it up there for you guys again. But all right, let's go into the week recap.
Yeah, we had the Bengals and the Colts. Bengals won 27-10. Lions beat the Bills 35-13. Jaguars beat the Falcons 20-16. Remember, it's preseason, people. Jaguars aren't gonna do that all the time.
No.
Falcons, actually, the only story in this is the Falcons go 0-4 in the preseason.
Yeah.
A team that's slated to go to the NFC Championship game or pretty damn close to it. You can't read too much into the preseason, but when a team goes 0-4 and the third game is the one you really perk up on, and they don't win a game, you kind of say, "Oh, wait a minute now."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, on the flip side, the Jets go 3-1. You know, that's not happening. They win 27-20 over the Eagles.
It's not true. I said they're going to have about 3 wins this season.
Right. So that means they would go 0-12 for the rest of the year. No, thank you. Stop it. Panthers beat the Steelers 25-10. Steelers go 0-4 in the preseason. I don't like the Steelers this year at all, man. I was looking at their depth chart. A great site for depth charts for every sport is OurLads.com, OurLads.com.
Yes.
They update it every day. They're old, man. Their linebacking core was all drafted in 2002.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Like, it's brutal. Like, their time has come and gone. They're a good Madden rebuild.
That's there
Madden.
You go.
I'm going with them.
Oh,
Madden.
Boy.
Yeah. Love the new Madden, by the way. It's fantastic.
Haven't picked it up yet. I'll be picking it up shortly.
Challenge everyone. Whip your ass. Redskins beat the Bucks 30-12. Dolphins beat the Saints. Oh, by the way, and when I say I'm going to whip your ass, I'm calling out Will's wife on that one because I hear too much crap being talked.
Dude, she's lucky every time we play. That's all I'm saying.
She's got the Joe Flacco to Torrey Smith Hail Mary pass going on.
She'll throw in the triple coverage every time and complete the goddamn pass. I throw in the single coverage, a pass that should be caught. Yeah, it's knocked down, intercepted. I'm telling you, there's got to be something with the game where it senses, all right, this guy's playing his wife. We're giving it to her. I don't get it.
Well, at least you're nice enough to have family video game time. No. My wife's like, yesterday I'm getting ready to leave the house. She goes, I'm going to play Madden while you're gone. I was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Like, I will smack your hand.
Oh,
like,
I tell my wife, go ahead, go practice.
No.
It's the only game she plays.
No, she does that. No. She's not allowed to look at my PlayStation. So we got the dog. And they're listening to the show, by the way, because I just got a picture of Logan listening to the show. He's
nice.
Sitting down in his little chair listening to us.
As I was making the new intro this week, I was Daddy Daycare, and they're sitting there watching me. They're going, Daddy, that's Uncle Chris. That's you. That's Uncle Chris. That's you. I'm like, yes, honey, that's a radio show.
It's like tennis. Oh, we got the Dolphins over the Saints, 24-21. Patriots beat the Giants, 28-20. Giants go 1-3 in the preseason. Giants secondary is in shambles, like I just said before.
The linebacker core is, too.
We had Andre Brown break his leg in this game.
Yep.
And Andre Brown, backup running back for the Giants, going to be out at least 4 to 6 weeks. Are you okay with Darrell Scott?
I don't have a choice, honestly. He's obviously the number 2 running back right now. I don't dislike him, but I don't like him yet either.
Right.
He's got potential. He's going to be... He reminds me of a Ron Dane. Very much just punch through and drag as many people as you can with you.
Right.
I also kind of see him having the same type of career as Ron Dane.
Exactly.
Where he's going to be kind of a flash and then all of a sudden kind of fizzle out. Yeah. So having him, you know, I can't wait for Andre Brown to come back because I think he's obviously the better of the two. But Darrell Scott for now is going to have to be, we have to deal with it.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe he completely shocks me. But again, Ron Dane did the same thing.
In what I like to title this week, the Decker Bowl, Phil's Minnesota Vikings beat Mikey's Tennessee Titans 24-23. We had the Rams over the Ravens 24-21. Browns beat the Bears 18-16. Chiefs over the Packers 30-8. Texans over the Cowboys 24-6. Love those Texans this year. Cardinals 32-24 over the Broncos. 49ers 41-6 over the lowly Chargers. I hate them this year. They're actually slowly becoming my pick to be worst team in the NFL.
I don't know about that, but it's definitely understandable why. Phil, you know what? Every season, Philip Rivers just makes me happier and happier.
I was having
that
this
whole trade thrills me to death.
I was having this conversation the other day, and somebody, my friend, had asked me about Michael Turner. Why Michael Turner why can't he go to the Giants? And I said he reminds me of Ron Dane. Like, he had two or three really good years, and he fizzled out. So when you said right. Darrell Scott, Ron Dane was perfect. I just don't like the Chargers, man. I really don't. I just don't see anything, any chutzpah with them. Last game of the week is Seahawks go 4-0, beat the Raiders 22-6, and at least the Raiders had one win in the preseason. It's one more than they'll have all year.
I don't know about that.
All right. So, want to take a break. When we come back, what do you want to do? You want to do a little tailgating? I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah, that bagel for breakfast really didn't do much for me.
I gotta finish mine.
Especially since we have bacon
ribs.
Fest later.
Ribs. You're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. We'll be back in a few.
The Conte and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it.
Wow.
I just made that up.
Pretty good.
Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
I was going to go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conte and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty, Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
You know Mary Magdalene was a whore.
Right.
Well, we had to do the whole, for Easter time, we did a play on, you know, the stages of the cross and all that shit. I was Mary Magdalene.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
You must have had your hand up for a month waiting to play that part.
Does that just freaking make the most sense in the world for me now?
Tune into Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Here at More Like Radio, we're all radio professionals, especially Kevin from Alcohol by Volume. Marvel as he winds his way through the twists and turns of Skype.
And you're about to get a Skype call.
Here we go. Answering the call.
So, yeah, not to interrupt this exciting hockey talk, but what's going on, guys?
And call not found, any drop me. That's fantastic.
was under the impression this was a drunk show, not bore everyone that's listening show.
Well, I'm still in the process of drinking.
I think we lost Kevin, or Kevin decided to be lost.
You're still in the process of boring people.
And I just realized I put Dennis on hold somehow.
This is that nightmare that I've been having of at some point finally getting on call and talking to somebody and being on air and everybody else just dropping.
Dennis is back
there
now.
There you guys are.
Sorry, look, Dennis.
Wow, fucking radio professional over here doesn't know how to add people to conference.
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
And we are back. Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively
like
on MoreLikeRadio.com. This is Slipknot, Joe.
Oh, wow. Really?
This is quite possibly the angriest thing to ever come out of Iowa.
No. Yeah, they're so bad.
Oh, my God. Fantastic, though. Amazing band to see live.
My favorite Slipknot song is Psychosocial.
Yes, absolutely.
Like when I work out, that's my angry music.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah.
I want to punch things. I want to kick a kitten when I hear Slipknot.
Yeah,
and I love kittens. They're so cute.
Oh, and the ASPCA is suddenly knocking on the studio door.
PETA. Hey.
PETA. All right. So, Chris and I, we've said it, a couple of fat guys, we like to eat. What goes better with football than tailgating?
Nothing.
Exactly.
I'll take tailgating over cheerleaders any day of the week.
Cheerleaders is a very close second to tailgating.
Close second, but not before food.
No.
No, it can be.
I have to eat to sustain life. That's my excuse. What do you like to, whether you're tailgating or you're home gating, you know, you're having your friends over for a game, you know, whatever you're going to do. What are your staples?
A must is my wife's chili.
Okay.
As long as she doesn't oversalt it. Because one time she had the chili powder and salt.
Ooh.
And it was like salt lick.
Okay.
But I make Frito pie.
Frito pie.
Absolutely. Take a 25-cent, well, now it's probably $8, but a bag of Fritos, and you cut it open, lay it open, with still in the packaging, pour the chili on top, pour cheese on top of that, put it in like a little toaster oven, let that bad boy melt down, and I got a Frito pie.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. The first time we ever had it was at a barbecue place in Long Island, and it was out of this world.
Wow.
Nice. Put a little green onion on top, a little bit of chive.
Get the honey, Junior.
Oh, God. It was so good. I'm not a big beer guy. I'm really not. But if I'm going to sit there, I'd like to crack open one.
Sure.
Just to relax. I got a delightful new mug from a glass from Phil for my birthday. Jets Pilsner glass. So I get to have a beer this year. And
feel classy.
Yeah, for a little bit. For about 5 minutes.
There's something about drinking out of a Pilsner glass.
Until I'm eating the hummus. Oh, hummus is a big thing for me, too. I love hummus.
I like hummus also.
At a tailgate party?
Yeah. A little tray of hummus with some chips and everything.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sophisticated. Pinkies up, Joe.
Okay.
what about you, Will?
One of the things I absolutely love to make, and I kind of created this simply out of boredom one day. I used to host a poker night, and me, Phil, and a couple other buddies, we would alternate a few of them in, would get together. And it was basically a cooking competition with a poker game. Okay? And one night, I created what I call my assorted slaughtered pig.
Oh, God.
Okay? Basically, I get different types of sausage, brats, kielbasa.
Oh, God.
And sauerkraut.
Ooh.
Okay? So what I do is I take the sauerkraut, I marinate it in a Sam Adams. It's my favorite beer of all time. Just a regular Sam Adams Boston Lager. I marinate the sauerkraut overnight. I then proceed to take, you got to have one for yourself. So I take the other four beers.
Yeah.
I take the other four beers. I fill up a pot about halfway with water. And then I pour the rest of the beers in there. I take the sauerkraut, dump that in. I bring it up to a boil first.
Mm-hmm.
Then I throw the sauerkraut and all the assorted slaughtered pig into the pot. Bring it down to a low simmer and let it cook for about 2 hours.
All right.
Okay? Just enough where the sausages start to split that little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's Phil will tell you, it's absolutely glorious.
Do you puncture the sausages?
No.
No, you don't. You
no.
Don't pierce the brat.
That's it. Yeah, no, I don't do anything like that. It's
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it really does.
I'll tell you what, and I've made this joke about it before. After you're done consuming it, you and your friends sound like the horn section to the Benny Goodman Orchestra. You're just sitting there going, wah, 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 wah. You know. Oh, God. But it's so good going down. You know, if you could do that with a little jambalaya, wow.
That's some, good what stuff. What I like to do also is I'll add just plain old white rice to the chili.
Okay.
That's a little bit
just
more.
Just to kind of tame it a little bit.
Yeah, just a little thicken it up a little bit more,
sure.
too.
But for me, I mean, anything on the grill is good. I mean, it's brats, sausages, cheddarwurst, yeah. anything like that on the grill is a staple.
This year I told Karen, I said, for the first week of the season, since we're not going to any games and I'm going to be home watching Red Zone all day, we got the barbecue in the back. I have to get brats this year.
Sure.
No one else eats them. No one else in the house is going to eat them except for me.
All right.
So I want bratwurst and I want pretzel buns. That's all I want.
Ooh.
Yeah, pretzel buns is the way
to
go.
I like pretzel buns.
And that and a Red's Apple Ale. Crack open, okay. relax, and
there goes the diet.
Yeah. Well, listen, if I cheat on Weight Watchers once a week.
Yeah, well, it's maintenance, right?
I have 49 extra points a week.
There you go.
That's for, like, today. Today's Bacon Fest, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Phil is gracious enough to open his house to Bacon Fest. We have bacon-wrapped potatoes from my wife. We have bacon chocolate chip cookies. We have bacon dip, the dip that you guys were eating all week at work, apparently.
Ooh.
The little cream cheese spread.
But yeah.
I tried to do the bacon cannoli. It didn't work the way I wanted it to. I don't have enough of those things to wrap the cannoli wraps.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing one at a time.
I figured you were going to have a hard time with
that. You were wrapping the cannoli shell in?
No, I was making the cannoli shell out of crispy bacon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was going to pipe it with bacon cream cheese.
Which, by the way, I mean...
Sounds fantastic. I don't know how you get that bacon to stay together, though. You know,
well, they have those cannoli wraps.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to do. I was going to do that and just kind of pin it with a toothpick just to keep it together.
Yeah, okay,
It didn't work. But I really hope Phil is a defib machine at the house.
Yeah.
Someone's going to go down.
I know some people that are nearby, so we'll be all right. But, yeah, I mean, even with this bacon stuff, you guys could do this for tailgating, too, man.
Absolutely.
It's fat guy tested, fat guy approved.
You don't even have to be fat.
You just have to love bacon.
You know, maybe instead of bacon, you could have used those ham steaks, the thick ones, and then just roll them.
Canadian
bacon. You know?
Yeah, we could have done that, too.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I think at some point, though, someone wisened up and said, I'm making stuff without bacon today. Just so we all don't die. Yeah, just so we could cut it. Like, I think there's, like, regular green beans coming. coming to the party.
I think I'll get beat up.
And that's the thing. If you're going to have a tailgating party, or I know people that go to MetLife Stadium just to tailgate. They don't even go to the game.
Right.
For the Giants at least, there's one guy who has a Winnebago that pulls up, and the whole Winnebago is painted blue, and it looks like a Giant helmet. But the old school 80s helmet says Giants written across it. The front looks like the face mask. Even the top has a red stripe over
it.
But all he does is he pays for the parking pass for the year, pulls out about 3 or 4 barbecues, tailgates with about 50 people, and then they have a closed circuit TV or they have the radio and they listen to the game.
Yeah.
It's insane.
The couple of games I've had the chance to go to, I hooked up with some friends of a friend, and I mean, these guys tailgate right. Again, this was when it was at the old Giant Stadium, where you can get there at 9 o'clock in the morning, not have to pay for parking because you would get in there first, and they would set up a Winnebago. You'd walk over, you'd park. All you had to do was bring whatever you were drinking and contribute to the meals for the day.
Wow.
Fair enough.
That's so great.
Yeah, so I mean, I think
that's better than going in the stadium.
It is. It is
cheaper.
Because you would walk
that's
up.
That's for sure.
You would, as soon as you walked up, coffee, donuts, bagels.
Wow.
There was breakfast. Fantastic. If the Giants had a 1 o'clock game around 12:30, they'd take out the cold cuts and bread and all that. You make your sandwiches, you put them in your pockets, you go into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You finish with the 1 o'clock game, you walk outside real quick because now you have to set up for the 4 o'clock games.
Right.
So there we are, we're setting up. They have two TVs, DirecTV, two different games going on at the same time. You're sitting there watching. The old man that was there, I for the life of me, I can't remember his name, and I feel bad about it because he's such a really nice guy. He's been a Giants season ticket holder since the 50s.
Wow.
So he's been through all the games.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's missed like 5 or 6 in his life.
Wow.
Up to that point. And just like me being such a geek, I'm sitting there and like I'm just like, just talk to me.
Tell me stories.
You know, I'm like a little kid in the library going, oh, it's story time.
He's an older guy?
Yeah.
He probably saw Y.A. Tittle, little old guy.
He absolutely did, Joe. Yeah. He saw Y.A. Tittle, Frank Gifford, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
He actually lived and survived the Ray Hanley era. That's impressive.
That's very impressive. But what they would do is at 4 o'clock, we would start with dinner.
Right.
And then by halftime of the 4 o'clock games, you were eating dinner. By the end of the 4 o'clock games, we were all cleaned up.
You were having meat sweats and a coma.
Right, exactly. And you'd beat the traffic home. You wouldn't sit in traffic.
How does that affect the food service businesses in the stadium? Don't they complain that these guys are taking their business away or something?
No, because not everybody does it. There are certain people that just walk in there and go in there and go into the stadium and they eat in there too. Which,
yeah.
I mean, the couple of times, I've been to about 5 games in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 of them I didn't have the opportunity to tailgate.
Yeah, everyone I talk to, tailgating is a big part of the game and getting bigger. You know, people really enjoy the tailgating, the camaraderie of talking to fans and everything like that. It's like going to an expo every year.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's the world's biggest block party when you go to
a
tailgate.
There you go, yeah.
Because you don't have to know anybody.
Sure.
The first time I ever tailgated, I went to a Giants, who did they play? Giants-Bengals game. No, I'm sorry, Giants-Saints game. It was Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Tailgating, I have a case of beer. All I had was a case of beer and a pocket full of cigars. I was just going to sit there and chill.
Right.
Who's calling you over? Oh, let me get a beer. Let me get a cigar. You come over. You want to eat something? By the time you're done, you've already gone to everybody's table, handed a cigar out, had a beer with somebody.
And you've just made about 40 new friends.
Exactly. Yeah, and absolutely. You eat to the point where you can't even breathe.
Yeah.
And all I was doing is it was 3 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
It was Reggie Bush's rookie season.
Okay.
I had to go see that game. And I was signing up for the Giants credit cards. Because they were giving away fleece blankets.
Okay.
So I was literally wrapping myself, because I don't wear jackets in the wintertime.
Right.
I had on a jersey with a thermal underneath, and it's 3 degrees outside.
Yeah,
and I'm wrapping my body like Mother Teresa in robes, in rugs, in blankets. And I'm just walking through. I had one on my head, and I'm walking through. I finally got to go see the game, and then I got lost.
You got 22 credit cards that day?
Yeah, I got rejected for all of them. My credit went down. It was fantastic.
But I was warm.
But I was warm, damn it.
Yeah.
But you 100%. Right, you make so many new friends.
Tailgating, it's a whole subculture of football.
Absolutely, it's a great part of the game.
It really is. And again, like you're gonna walk around, you're walking around the parking lot. People are throwing football. People are playing the little beanbag toss games and stuff like that.
There you go.
And you know, and don't get me wrong, you're always gonna get an asshole here and there.
Of course.
But for the most part, you walk. If you walk around with a case of beer, you will be making friends very quickly.
Yeah, you're like the cool kid in school.
Exactly. Hey, listen, oh, man, we're almost out of beer. Oh, look at that. Hey, come on over here, man.
He's a beer guy.
Yeah, you're the beer guy. We got about an hour before the game starts. You know?
You have about 35 beers. I think between the two of us we could finish that.
Sure.
I was trying to do that last night, but that's a different story all to itself.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that message.
But, I mean, my personal favorite beer, Sam Adams Oktoberfest, just started coming out again.
Oh, it's like apple juice. It's delightful.
In my mind, nectar with the gods. And that is one thing I will... I try to get a case or two to hold me over for the entire winter. And I try to at least have one or two during the games. Depending on how bad the Giants play, it turns into 12 or 14.
Yeah.
But...
my wife's big on the Shock Top Raspberry Wheat.
I haven't had the Raspberry Wheat, but I do enjoy Shock Top.
I'm big on ciders. I like ciders.
Okay.
I like the Apple Ale. I like Magners. Magners is my nectar.
I enjoy
a
Magners from time to time.
Magners is delightful. Blue Moon, not too bad.
I enjoy Blue Moon.
A little bit of orange. Whatever. The Food Network really put tailgating in the spotlight. Guy Fieri did a tailgating like a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives style.
Right.
He went to go see Oakland. And obviously, you're going to Oakland, you're not going to see your team win. You're going there to eat.
And I think some of those guys were actually cooking up some members of the opposing team.
Yeah, the black hole. That's what happens.
Yeah, it's scary over there. Very scary over there. But, yeah, I mean, tailgating, definitely one of the most enjoyable parts of the game outside of the game itself. You know, again, you're making friends, You're making yourself fat. You're enjoying yourself.
Making yourself fat. You're electing to do this to yourself.
I didn't say you weren't.
I didn't say you weren't. I know.
But break away from that for a minute. I just want to sit there and give a shout out to LaMarcus Farmer.
Hell yeah.
He was the first interview Chris and I ever did as a show, as Tattoos and Touchdowns. Really nice guy, really classy kid. You know, for those of you who don't know about him, he was a walk-on at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Busted his butt, earned himself a scholarship, and he had a redshirt freshman year, which basically means he really didn't play much, but it gives him an extra year of eligibility. They had the first game. The UAB Blazers had their first game last night against Troy.
Lost a heartbreaker.
They did lose a heartbreaker. Lost 34-31.
In overtime.
Yep. And LaMarcus Farmer had three tackles. Didn't get any picks or anything like that. But if you went back, I had posted that show yesterday on the Facebook page for everybody to listen to if they didn't get a chance originally. And that was the one game he was most looking forward to, because he played against them last year and felt like he didn't have a very good game against them. So, you know, he got his chance again, obviously. Next week they're playing LSU.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out to him during the week, just send him a little courtesy text, and see if he can come on after the LSU game, just to tell us his experience. We'll probably be able to get him on the Sunday, obviously. If I can't get him on live on the show, what I may do is just have him call me, and I'll give a little interview with him, and we'll play it during the show.
Sure.
He's a good kid. I sent him a message yesterday. I said, in the words of Muhammad Ali, rumble, young man, rumble. I said, that's do it. Your thing. You got to step up and do your thing.
Yeah.
You want this bad enough? Get out there and take it.
And we both actually sent him a message. I had sent him one saying, listen, good luck today. Make yourself proud. As promised, Tattoos and Touchdowns is watching. And
absolutely.
You know, he's a very humble kid, and he appreciates all the support that he gets from everybody. So, again, LaMarcus, if you're listening, brother, good luck to you, man. We are watching. We're going to keep our eye on you. Again, make yourself proud. All right. What do we got next, Chris?
Let's see. Well, we're waiting for Jeff to call in. I'm actually sending him a text now to remind him.
Okay.
And but before that, let's talk about Baltimore-Denver. I mean, it is Thursday.
It is. It certainly is. Baltimore-Denver. I don't know if you really want to call them powerhouses anymore, but the Denver defense right now is in a bit of a shambles.
Yeah, Von Miller is out for 6 weeks. It's going to be an issue.
Champ and that's Bailey's, all because of the suspension.
Yes. Champ Bailey is another year older. I'm still not completely sold on Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie as your number one corner. Sorry.
Could be worse.
You had the mistake with the Elvis Dumervil fax, and he's now playing you week one.
Yeah, so I have a feeling there's going to be a little redemption.
He's going to be licking his chops against Peyton Manning. I'm looking at my big thing this week is going to be the new vision of the Baltimore Raven defense. 6/11 of that defense is gone.
Right.
They get Ladarius Webb back. He's healthy.
Hopefully he can stay that way this season because he's their best option in the secondary.
Yes. I'm a little afraid of a Super Bowl hangover. And I was wearing a Joe Flacco jersey the other day, and somebody had asked me, oh, I was a Ravens fan. I'm like, no, jersey collector. Big difference.
Right.
And he said, well, what do you think this year? You think the boys are going to do it? I said, no. I said, no. The Ravens have no shot at repeating. I said, I'm petrified of the Super Bowl hangover.
This is going to be a little more than a Super Bowl hangover. This is a Super Bowl hangover / almost completely revamped team. That's another issue.
Right.
You know, they don't have a lot of guys returning again on defense. They lost their emotional spark plug in Ray Lewis to retirement. They did make some good moves to replace them. But, again, it's going to be their defense right now still has to prove themselves. And they're going up against a very tough opponent offensively in the Denver Broncos.
And the Denver Broncos are showing that new look Corvette. That's what they are right now.
Right.
They've given Peyton Manning more options that he's ever had in his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
If he does not win and win big this year, like, this is LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh big for him.
Sure.
Okay? Wes Welker is that piece. And a lot of people don't like Wes Welker. For the people who don't like Wes Welker, I'm sorry. You're wrong. You're completely wrong. He's dominated the slot receiver position for the last 7 years.
Again, he's a little on the older side.
Right.
You know, entering the twilight of his career. And his numbers are going to suffer again a little bit this year. And it's only because he's the number three receiver. And you have three very good receivers.
Yeah, you know, I think he takes over the number two spot over Decker for 1 year. That's why I avoided Decker at all costs in every fantasy league I've done so far.
I don't think so, because I think Peyton and Decker built up a relationship last season. I don't think Welker is going to be able to move. Not that he's not going to be able to. I don't think he's going to have the opportunity to move up to that number two spot simply because of the relationship that Decker and Peyton have forged now.
All right. I'm sorry. My ADD kicks in. I'm watching. They have Baltimore and Indianapolis on.
It's Indian. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I'm sorry. The TV's tilted. I'm colorblind. I walk with a limp. I'll make excuses for anything.
That's true.
The biggest loss, in my opinion, this offseason for Baltimore was Anquan Boldin. Yeah. I know they traded him, but if he's not in that game in the Super Bowl, you don't win that Super Bowl.
Right.
Torrey Smith really, I didn't see do anything in that game to elevate himself to be that guy. And now they're leaning on him to be that guy.
Right.
So, you know, you got Ray Rice. You know what you're going to get out of him all year. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. He's probably another 500 or 600-yard receiver. Flacco's coming off another great year. He's coming off his cha-ching year, like I always like to say.
That's it.
Get fat off your contract. Does he have a letdown now? Does he take a step back with his bloated contract?
I think he is going to wind up taking a step back, but simply because all he's got really is Torrey Smith
right.
to throw to. He doesn't have Dennis Pitta. That was kind of a security blanket. Pitta's going to be out for the season, most likely.
Mm-hmm. Pitta is done for the season. He's IR.
Oh, yeah. But he's IR with the option to return.
Yes. I was actually reading about it yesterday. Once they officially put Pitta on injured reserve, they're going to bring someone from the practice squad over. It's probably going to be, I can't remember his first name. His last name is Furstenberg. He's a rookie tight end that he's probably going to wind up taking that spot. That is Dennis Pitta's. Right now, Ed Dixon is your number one tight end there.
Right. Right. Oh, that's what, you know, again, it's wait and see. I mean, there is an outside chance that he does come back by the end of the season. That's what this new IR spot premiered last year.
I tell you, man, it's still a dislocated hip. I mean, people in their 80s get dislocated and broken hips.
Yeah.
He's 28, 29.
Oh, when you get banged around as hard as he does, you know, it's bound to happen, too.
Emmett Smith said, if you ever wanted to know what it was like to be a running back or to be in the NFL, picture getting into 30 car crashes in one game. He says all it is just a high-speed collision every time you touch the ball.
Right.
That's all it is. You're bound to get beat up.
Yeah.
You're bound to get beat up. That's Joe, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Baltimore Ravens or Denver Broncos?
Let's see. the Ravens, that's a very sharp bird, and the Broncos are a very rough horse. I'd have to take the Broncos over the Ravens because I like the color of their uniform much better.
And this is why I'm calling into Ham Radio every Tuesday okay. For the NFL season, 11 a.m. to noon.
Chris is going to do everything he can to save Joe from being
yes.
severely injured.
That's right.
The funny thing is, though, I'm taking Denver in this game also.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. For many reasons. Number one, Denver's home. Number two, Super yes. Bowl hangover.
And also, Denver is a Cowboy state, and the Cowboys are very tough people.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to shoot birds out of the
yes,
air.
Yes, that's
basically
right.
what he's saying. And as they
Hunter's
fall, the Broncos are going to step on them.
That's yeah, right. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't believe I just listened to that.
Most people can't.
And again, this is why. Ham Radio, every Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Jeff is actually, I'm just texting Jeff now. He's ready. He's asking if he should call the number I sent him. I said yes. So he should be ready within the next minute.
All right. So let's go to a quick break.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic.
And then, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be back in a moment.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
The Cousin Joe Show strives for excellence in broadcasting.
Not really sure how, but he had mutilated himself. So there was self-mutilation to his genital area.
The gold standard for broadcasters everywhere, Cousin Joe is always on topic and always on point.
Now I'm talking ourselves up.
Keep going.
Both funny.
Like where you're going.
Which I don't say often about myself. Both funny. Creative. So, I lost my point.
Never short on words, he always knows just what to say.
I don't know how to put it without sounding gay.
He's an all-around honest guy, and not afraid to let you know just how he feels.
I don't get why people are so down on Hitler.
The key to Joe's success is his uncanny ability to bring you quality programming, night in and night out.
Record yourself taking a shit, and we're going to play Guess the Shit.
You can listen to the Cousin Joe and his Big Fat Cock Show Thursday nights, 7 to 10 p.m., only on morelikeradio.com.
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't
worry
about the tyrant's chance of Nancy Cecil on radio, you idiot!
We're
just want to apologize, everybody. We're having some technical difficulties. Just give us one moment while we try to correct.
Damn it, can a guy masturbate in this house? Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't worry about the tyrant's chance of Nancy Cecil on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on morelikeradio.com. Right now, we are going to be on the line with CBS New York reporter and WFAN reporter Jeff Capolini. Jeff, are you there?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
All right. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
All right. I'm Will. Chris is right over here.
Yes. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
How's it going,
guys?
All right.
Good. So thank you, first of all, for taking time out of dealing with your kids and being on vacation. So I've been following a bunch of your tweets on the whole Jets situation. We're going to do a little Jets Giants talk today. What do you feel about the whole Sanchez Geno Smith saga?
I feel run down. I don't want to feel anything anymore about it. It's been. I think it was inevitable that at some point there was going to be, no matter how smoothly you wanted it to go, the powers that be weren't going to allow it to go the way you wanted to, regardless of who you want to win. It was going to become a distraction or a fiasco or whatever, you know, superlative you want to use to describe it. It's the Jets.
Right. It is
what happens.
It is the media circus that is the New York Jets. I just feel, and I've actually talked to you about this already, that they set up Sanchez to fail with bringing him in with the third string offensive line. There's no I don't know who's pulling the strings there. I don't know if that's Idzik telling Rex, listen, this has to be done. But it's almost like they want to get rid of Mark Sanchez, and in turn, they're going to do that and get rid of Rex Ryan, kill two birds with one stone, and bring someone else in and have Geno as your starting quarterback.
Well, that's a tough one. Sanchez, that particular game in the fourth quarter, yeah, when he was told to come in, I was a bit surprised just because it just didn't seem to make sense at that particular time, because, you know, the game was, you know, the outcome of the game really didn't matter. But I was of the opinion that, you know, I stick by it, that Mark, as much as you need to see what Mark could do versus the number one defenses and what Geno can do versus the number one defenses, you have to be able to see what each can do against lesser defenses, because if they regress, where are you then?
Right.
So you take that into consideration, and you add it to the fact that Mark Sanchez was the whipping boy. He was the one who was buried after Tennessee last year. He was, there's no way he's coming back, according to every media pundit in the world. There's no way he's coming back. Yet, there's Mark Sanchez becoming the worshipped one, the victim, when he goes into a game that, you know, he had not earned the right not to play in. Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
He was, you know what I mean? He had to go in that game in a lot of ways, because he's won nothing. I mean, he's earned nothing in over the last 2 years. So to kill, I don't know. I think it's just a lot of second guessing, based on, you know, a freak thing that happened, and, you know, I think there's a lot of hypocritical people out there who would now were suddenly worshiping Sanchez when they couldn't wait to get rid of him. You know, I don't get it.
You know, based on that now too, every Jets fan is kind of anticipating with the Geno Smith starting now, and what I'm afraid of for Geno Smith is if he starts to struggle, and I'm pretty sure he's going to, that Jets fans are going to start calling for his head by the middle of the season.
Well, then shame on the Jets fan. You know what I mean? Because if 95% of the Jets fans wanted Sanchez out and Geno in, you can't have it both ways. You bring the guy in, he's a rookie. There's no going back to Sanchez. You want to retard his growth? You want to zap whatever confidence he has? Yeah,
right.
Sure. Pull him after, you know, some bad you know, throws or maybe a bad outing, and put back in the guy everyone hates. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll get it. I don't think that's necessary. I think you have to. The Jet fan here has to be patient with this guy. You just have no choice.
Right, exactly.
And if you're not, then you're an embarrassment.
Yeah, and what I saw the problem is I'm a huge Jets fan, and we were spoiled for the 2 years when Sanchez goes to back-to-back AFC Championship games. And when we see a regression into the third season, and I've said before, and I'm not going to get too much into it, the 2 years that they make the AFC Championship game, that was an Eric Mangini-built team with Rex Ryan at the head coaching spot.
Right.
So he had different pieces around him. When those pieces start to go away and they replace a Thomas Jones with a LaDainian Tomlinson or anything like that, you see things start to fall apart, and the main thing that I saw was Sanchez not having the right guys to throw to. And when he doesn't have the right guys to throw to, no quarterback's going to be good. And as a jaded New York fan in general, if you're a Yankee fan, doesn't matter.
Right.
You start to see the changing of, well, he didn't do it again. What have you done for me lately? Now we don't like you.
Right.
And any change is going to be good. And they're going to give Geno Smith as much time as he needs, because his name doesn't start with the word Mark, the name Mark.
Right.
Jeff, what do you think about the wide receiver situation? Do you think Santonio plays this year? What's your feeling on it?
Yeah, I think Santonio's going to play. I mean, I've been half joking, half serious when I say that I could see him trot out on the field opening day, you know, in some form and play. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but Santonio is not a fan of the media, nor is the media a fan of Santonio. But, you know, just how hurt was he? He was hurt significantly early. But to say, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but almost a year later of that injury, I don't know the severity. If it could linger like that to the point where he could say, I could miss 7 weeks, or the Jets could be worried you'll never see him. I don't know. Could it have been a case of Santonio probably perhaps maybe trolling the media a little bit? Yeah, maybe. Playing possum a little bit? Would it shock you, considering how that guy's personality is? You know?
Not really.
I wouldn't be surprised by it at all. But yeah, I think when that guy on the field, it's a, you know, the Jets are different. Yeah, you know, their offense is going to be somewhat more exciting to watch, I guess is the best way to put it. But it's all hinged to me. They could have Jerry Rice and whoever else you want to name out there, but they're going to run the ball the way they've run the ball in the past. You know, defense is going to be locked and loaded, ready to kill. Right. So they have to make sure the offensive line has to come along a little bit better than it has. And Ivory and Powell got to make the most of their chances, and Goodson has to get up to speed. Because when those three are going, and then if one gets hurt, you have Khalil, who really had a great preseason.
Yeah, I actually... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm getting off to be beaten path. But you asked me about wide receivers.
I think
the Jets wide receivers are not as bad as everybody thinks. They've obviously got some issues. Stephen Hill's, you know, his maturity level and his hands are still questionable. And I would have liked to have kept Braylon around just because of his leadership. I mean, he can still catch the ball. And he may not be as dynamic as he once was, but he can still catch the ball, and he's a great blocker. And in an offense that, you know, even if it's a West Coast offense, the Jets still need that aspect. But, I guess I get it. Clyde Gates better turn out to be something special, I mean, or something better than advertised, because, you know, a fan favorite gets cut. It's hard to accept that the guy you kept him in lieu of is just sitting there doing nothing. Again, in this case, I think the quarterback makes the receivers, not so much the receivers make the quarterback. So we'll see what happens. It's up to the QB.
Right. I was at Cortland for the Green and White game, and I agree with you 100% about Khalil Bell. He looked fantastic. I'm a little upset about Braylon. When the final cuts were made, did Ryan Spadola make the cut?
Yes.
Good.
Spadola was one of the first guys they said will be on the team, yes. Because I guess they wanted to, you know, have some feel-good. I don't think the Jets' cuts were... I don't think there's anything really dramatic that we're waiting to hear, except for, you know, who QB3 was and the final spots at receiver. I mean, I guess the Gray cut was a little surprising because of the name, but he was hurt. He could never get in the swing.
Right.
But I don't think there's anything, you know, I don't think there's anybody one. It was kind of, I think it was hyped up to be a lot more than it was. I don't blame fans for getting excited about cuts, but I don't think we were waiting for any one thing that was going to be earth-shattering, regardless of how it went, yeah. You know?
Greg McElroy gets cut.
Yeah. Well, Greg McElroy was injured, as everybody knows, and depends on who your conspiracy theorist is. Does Rex like him? Does Rex not like him? I don't know. Rex said he was the smartest guy in the room the other day. Did he mean it sarcastically because he doesn't like him? I don't know. Stemming back from the whole, you know, the comments he made to that radio station way back when. Sims earned the right to be on the team. Sims was, who knows what Sims can be down the road. McElroy, I don't think is as good a quarterback. He might be smarter and he might be a great guy, but I don't know if he's as good a quarterback as Matt Sims. I mean, we might be judging Sims on a very small sample, but McElroy was here for a few years and we had nothing but a small sample to judge on him. Exactly. So, you know, that's where we are.
Do you see somebody like McElroy maybe taking a trip up to Buffalo? And
I don't, you know, it would make sense. It would make sense for the Bills, but I mean, I talked to some people in Buffalo who, you know, understand what's going on up there. It seems like E.J. Manuel is not going to be out for an extended period of time. He might miss a game, if that, maybe two at the most. But they think there's a good chance he could be ready. It's a possibility. But for the short-term answer for McElroy, yeah, I mean, that could be a place to go. I mean, who knows?
And that's why Buffalo didn't panic. And they have Jeff Toole right now as this probably, hypothetically right now, is slated as the starter for Sunday.
Yeah.
Next Sunday.
It's actually going to set some history because he's going to be the first, from what I understand, he's going to be the first undrafted rookie free agent to ever start the season.
That is correct. Now, you could make that story really exciting and interesting if perhaps you just bring Tebow up there for the week. Here's what I'm thinking. You bring Tebow up there. Let him and McElroy slug it out with Toole and Teal, however you pronounce it. And those guys, you know, do battle. And then at the end, after Tebow's lost that one too, put him on a boat, take him across the lake, right to Canada, where it should be, and then he can resume his life.
I have been saying...
No, I mean, you know, I like Tim Tebow. I at this point, it's getting kind of... I mean, he's got to look in the mirror. You know, he's just got to look in the mirror and just be like, I got to work on my game. And the only way I'm going to work on my game is if I can get on a field and actually take snaps that matter. And right now, it doesn't look like he's going to have the opportunity to do that in many places, if anywhere, in the United States. You know, at least at the highest levels. So.
It's funny because when I have a friend of mine who's a big Florida Gators fan and went to the University of Gillette, and when Tim Tebow first got drafted, he was like, this guy's garbage, I don't like him, you know, he has awkward throwing style, and he's also a Jets fan, so as soon as he came over to the Jets, like, he just walked up to me, he was practically in tears.
Yeah, the thing with what Tebow does well is you can't teach it.
Right.
And the things that he doesn't do well, he certainly can teach it, but he doesn't want to, you know, he's so headstrong and so determined, and so he has such faith that, you know, he's going to achieve his goals.
Do you think if he put his pride away and actually just went over to like a tight end position that he would actually have more success in the NFL?
I think it's hard. That's really hard to say. I mean, just because he is built like a tank and can run really fast and can do all these things doesn't mean he can, you know, step in and there's nuances to every position that
right.
you just, it takes a long time to learn. I mean, regardless of how physically gifted you might be. Would it be worth it for a team to give him maybe a shot at doing something like that? As long as, as I said, you can't teach athleticism like that. So getting him on the field in some capacity would probably be a very wise thing. But to say where and how, and especially when the person in question doesn't want to do it, it's not a recipe for success.
No, not at all.
You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, guys become, you know, a pariah in a lot of ways to the non-believers simply because he, you know, as good as he could be, as good as he was for Denver, he just never was able to grasp the fact that maybe that situation was just perfect for him, and then it doesn't mean wherever else he goes that it's just going to fall in line like that.
Right, but I mean, let's look at it. Was he really that good with Denver? I mean, at that point, the Denver defense was really keeping them in games, and he just, in my opinion, just got lucky.
Well, again, I don't know if you get lucky when you do all the things that he did and the ways he beat teams. He didn't just, I mean, the Jets know better than anybody.
Right.
You know? I mean, did every defense lay an egg that week? The one he won however many out of his last eight, you know? It's hard to, again, the athleticism for him is the factor that made him so unpredictable.
Right.
I watched like countless replays of the Pittsburgh playoff game, and I mean, the throws he made, I couldn't believe I was watching this guy make those throws. The same guy that played for the Jets and, you know, just got caught by the pad. I couldn't believe it. I was like, some, you know, there were some things there that were really looked like true NFL quarterback. And, okay. and in some cases, it was just throw it as far as you can and we'll see if you can catch it, you know. But that was an amazing thing. They set up an offense that worked for him. I mean, that's great. But many other teams aren't setting up offenses that work. He had to adapt to what was in place. And we're seeing that he can't. So the guy just needs to go someplace that where he can actually be on a field and play.
Right.
You know, and not be. I mean, just because you make a team doesn't mean you're ever going to improve.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It just doesn't mean anything. I mean, if he made the Patriots, the things that would have highlighted his stay there were all the things he did not playing quarterback.
Right, and let's face it, him making the Patriots doesn't make sense because, as Chris has said in the past, he's a different style of quarterback than Tom Brady. So basically, you're going to have your Tom Brady offense, which is going to be leading your team down the field for the whole game, and then, God forbid, he gets injured. Now you have to put in a whole new offense to accommodate Tim Tebow.
And beyond that, what I don't like is what they tried to do last year a little bit in preseason when Tebow was on the Jets is that change of pace. If I have a quarterback who can be streaky at times, like Mark Sanchez, and he's on a roll, why am I going to derail his rhythm and bring in a change of pace quarterback? This isn't college.
Right.
It doesn't work that way here.
Absolutely.
I agree with that to a point. I just think when you're inside the 5-yard line, that's the time you should be using a guy.
100%. I agree.
I mean, I couldn't believe that there were opportunities the Jets had to just give. This guy could fall forward and score. And they just, whatever the reason was why they didn't want to do it, I mean, did they not want the momentum to get in Tebow's corner where enough people were starting? Yeah, I'm not saying that the non-believers would ever accept him. But this guy scores a couple touchdowns. You know, his people get fired up in a way that, you know, no one player has ever had that kind of support. They become a lot to handle, you know, and maybe the Jets don't want to deal with that. Man, if the Jets had their way, I bet they would wish they could go back in the security footage and erase that section, that block of time. I really believe that they would probably want to do that.
Really quick, we're talking with Jeff Capellini. You can follow him on Twitter at Green Lantern Jet. Jeff, we're going to switch. We're going to do a little change of pace because we've been talking about our gangrene, and Will's getting a little punchy now. He wants to talk about the Giants. What do you feel about the Giants' running back situation? We'll start there.
Well, when they had both Wilson and Brown, it was very good. Coughlin, it's funny because Coughlin, he's taking hits for. Playing the script and those players are for the starters to play that short period of time in the fourth game. He's always done it, you know, and it was a freak thing that happened. It's going to set them back a little bit. But Wilson, I'm going to tell you, he's impressive. I mean, even before that 84-yard run against the Jets, I mean, when he was in college, he was really good. And last year, toward the end of the season, he started playing really well for the Giants and as both a returner and as, you know, a filling back. So, you're asking him now. He's going to have to carry quite a load for a while. He should be okay. But they're a passing offense anyway. I mean, they could probably make do with what they have so far and be all right with it, as long as Eli doesn't lose. I mean, Cruz already he got the boot off and he's starting to get back to normal.
Right.
Or he's getting the boot off sooner if he hasn't already. And Nick's looked like a little better in the preseason than he has. You know, he's been battling an injury.
Nick just has to stay healthy.
Yeah, Randall. I didn't get to see much of Randall, but Randall looks like he's ready to become more. If they do what they normally do with a passing offense, they just need a little bit more depth at the running back position. But Wilson, I think, is ready to become more of a focal point in the offense.
All right. My biggest concern as a Giants fan. Is their defense. Last year they ranked 31st in the NFL. And based on what I'm looking at the linebacking position and the secondary, I'm not terribly convinced they're going to improve much. I mean, what do you think about the whole defense right now?
I think the Giants are based on their pass rush is the ball game. With that, it masks so many other things. And that's what the big criticism of the Jets has been during the Rex Ryan era. As good as the defense has been, if they don't get the damn quarterback more, you know, you'd hide the Kyle Wilsons of the world. You'd hide the lack of speed and the lack of youth at linebacker. You know what I mean?
Right.
You just would. And that's why you need a JPP and you need Tuck to do their thing. They have to do their thing.
Right.
If they do it, I don't think you're going to worry too much about linebackers. And the secondary, that injury the other night was brutal for Brown.
I'll be honest with you. I started to cry a little bit as soon as I saw it.
That was terrible. I mean, he may not be the greatest, secondary guy in the world, but he ball hawks, makes plays.
Yeah, he was really the best option out there right at the time.
Yeah, I mean, Mukamara might be ready just to become a star. It looks like he's really good. And if they had the other guy on the other side, it would have been great, too. But, again, get to the quarterback and it changes. People may not be as fearful. You don't get to the quarterback and people and receivers have time to move down the field. It's going to be a work in progress.
Right. One thing about the Giants is their linebacking core has always usually been pretty decent. But right now we're looking at Keith Rivers, Dan Connor, Spencer Pasinger, and Mark Herzlich as the main four linebackers. I really don't know how to feel about that. I mean, I think, sadly enough, Pacinger's probably the best option, with Mark Herzlich being the second best option. I'm not sold on Keith Rivers and Dan Connor.
Connor had he did a pretty good preseason. They definitely. They've got some. You're gonna have to have some patience with that unit too. You have to have patience. It looks like the back end of that defense is going to be a work in progress for the entire. At least the first month of the season, they're going to have to figure things out there.
Yeah.
I wish I could tell you that I... Herzlich, you know, he had his moments. Connor had a good preseason. The other two guys I really don't know a lot about, to be totally honest with you. But the guys they do have in the secondary are actually pretty good. And again, that front four has to really get it done. If they get it done, you're going to have a different situation.
Right. I mean, my concern is if a running back gets past the front four, that second tier of the defense is not going to be able to catch up, and it's going to wind up being some big runs for the opposing team.
You know, the Giants have tried over the last couple of years have been more a unit when they're, rather than having stars necessarily, past the front four. So Coughlin's going to have to, They might win a few games, scoring 30 points. They're going to have to for a while.
Right.
Yeah, until they figure it all out. And it can't take any more. It cannot have any more injuries anywhere on the defense side of the ball.
No.
Yeah, talking last year not being healthy really hurt them. Really hurt them. So, and JPP, he became more of a complete player, but he lacked the explosive, highlight reel plays that you'd seen, but he actually had a pretty good season, all things considered.
Right.
And you can't have any more injuries in that division. They beat the crap out of each other in that division for six
games. That division is going to be pretty tough. I really don't think there's a division of football where you can't say it's going to be tough. I mean, unless you play with, I get to play the Raiders twice. AFC West is. AFC West is going to be interesting, but Denver's going to do what they do. But
absolutely,
NFC East is going to be tough. AFC East is going to be, it looks like you have one team and then three others. Just kind of, who knows what's going to happen? They need something to go right and just ride it.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a battle for second place.
Absolutely.
Probably. I mean, I understand everybody liking what Miami's doing. But I'm scared of Miami. I don't know why anybody would be. Now I don't fear them in any way.
They're still pretty young and have a lot to prove.
And it seems like Wallace is great. Was a nice upgrade for them, but I don't see that kind of offense. I don't know. They're gonna ask that quarterback now.
And Miami actually has that Washington Redskins syndrome right now. Spend a lot and hope for the best, and in the past with Dan Snyder being the general manager of Washington, that didn't pan out the right way.
Yeah, you could bring Tebow there too and sell more seats.
Fantastic.
Then, you bring Tebow in, you bring Tebow in, and then he can make up for all the times they don't play the Jets down in Miami. They'll sell the building out then.
Tim Tebow, the ticket taker.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting. The whole season is going to be. I mean, I kind of like Seattle, like most everyone else. I think they're loaded. It's going to be a fun to watch them on the dish every week.
Yeah, the NFC West is going to be, as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be a two-team race, and I'm sold on both the 49ers and the Seahawks.
Don't slip on Arizona. 49ers, Seahawks.
So, yeah, Arizona. I'm not sure about Arizona, but don't sleep on. It's hard to do, but. I'm not talking about the West, saying NFC in general, but don't sleep on New Orleans. New Orleans is going to be good again.
Not sleeping on New Orleans, I definitely think now that Sean Payton's back with the team, they're going to be much better than they were last season. I think they were kind of taken aback by everything that happened.
Yeah, they're going to. Yeah, I think that definitely slowed them down. And defensively, hopefully they're better. But with Payton there, he's just the best play designer in the world. He just is. And they can. They're comfortable scoring 40 and just letting it just fall over the internet. And Breeze is, you know, he's the best, one of the best, if not the best in the business.
Absolutely. So Jeff,
and they have a good stable full of running backs, and the receivers are always, they're unheralded, but they're good. You know, and they have Graham. It's really, that's a fun, you talk, that's an offense the Jets never had and never will have.
Well, way to put things in perspective for us.
Fine.
One more question before we let you go, and we thank you so much for your
sure.
time. We've been asking this of every guest that we've had. Really quick, give us your preseason Super Bowl pick.
I'm gonna go with Seahawks. I would love to be dare to be different here, but I think that team right now, I mean, the trade for Harvin aside, which when it happened, everybody went ballistic, like, oh my God, they just pulled the wool over everyone's eyes. But you know, that guy's just got a history where he can't stay healthy. But they have such depth at so many positions. They have three running backs who I think at any time you could put either any one of them in the game and it'd be fine. And they're going to be able to save Marshawn Lynch, preserve his durability, even though he's pretty durable as it is. But he's going to be something else late in games and late in the season, because Turbin and Christine Michael are more than capable of doing what they need to do. One thing Seattle can't have under any circumstances is Russell Wilson get hurt. I mean, if he stays healthy, they're going to be something else. They really are. And defensively, they're very good. They have the best secondary in football. They do it by committee up front, and they do a really good job with it. Their linebackers are really good. Pete Carroll, you know, he's the right coach for that team. He may not have been the right coach with other teams, but he's definitely the right coach for that team. And you can pencil them in for 7-8 wins at home every year, regardless of what they have.
Yeah, that 12th man reigns supreme.
Best home field advantage in football.
Absolutely.
And, you know, right now they have 7 wins. Right now. So yeah. they have to win, what, 4 games? Three, four games on the road to make the playoffs, and they're more than capable of doing that, even though they started poorly last year on the road. But they ended it. That Chicago game, toward the end of the year last year, got them going.
That's the game that Sidney Rice got hurt in.
Yeah, that.
Right.
What was that?
That's the game that Sidney Rice took that shot in overtime against, I think it was Charles Tillman that hit him, and he just lit him up.
And then Russell Wilson showed why he, even for his being such a young guy, he's ready to be a superstar, because he took that game over right then and there. Said, all right, you know,
absolutely,
we lost this guy, whatever, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to lead. And he led, and I think they should have won the game in Atlanta. They had the game won. I don't know what happened in the last drive. They got a little lax, maybe. They played a little too far off the receivers. Let Atlanta do what they needed to do, but they should have won that game.
Yeah.
They could have easily won the Super Bowl last year. This year they're going to be really good.
I think that's...
AFC-wise, I have no idea. It could be anybody. It could be Denver's, you know, the popular pick. New England, you know, is always there. A lot of people say Cincinnati. I'm not really sure about that, but they are really, really good. We'll see. Maybe the Jets make a run.
Well, I think Seattle, getting really real quick before we let you go with Seattle,
mm-hmm.
that's one more. That's this year is just another year under their belt. I think if they're in that situation again against a team like Atlanta, they don't make the same mistake twice.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And another thing, Seattle's pretty young. You know, they're a relatively young team too. So even though the pressure is going to be on them to do it this year, it seems like Schneider's such a good GM, and Allen puts them in a position, allows them as an owner to do what they need to do. And Carroll, I mean, even if it doesn't work, but they are, you know, highly competitive, but get beaten again this year, it's not a reason for panic. I mean, you still have a quarterback who's just 1 year into the league. You know, so you just give it. Just be patient with that team, because they're built for the long haul. And it could mean, you know, more than the next, you know, 16 games.
Right. Well, Jeff, on behalf of Will and myself, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
And hopefully we'll have you on later on in the season as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys give me a call. Let me know what you need.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks again, man. Enjoy.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye.
That was Jeff Cappellini from WFAN and CBS New York. Again, his Twitter handle is @GreenLanternJet. That's at Green Lantern Jet. We're going to take a fast break because we got to pay some bills. We ran a little long on the interview, and we'll be back to wrap up the show. This is Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcasts. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use us to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Warning, listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and normal balance, imagined gains in height, fitness, and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you for listening.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the No Name Show. My name is King.
I'm Slashly.
Fuck your face.
Oh, I was trying to get this person to see my penis.
I want my asshole numbed if you're going to be shoving some huge thing in it.
I told her I beat her 3 times in Woods and Friends. I think that means I get to see your boobs.
Suck your own dick, why would you want...
Let me phrase that. No, I'm surprised that there are any girls who actually do want to suck my dick.
The No Name Show, Mondays, 5 p.m., only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
It's a good band too.
I actually made some corn last night on the grill. It was fantastic.
More tailgating. Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's More Like Radio. 908-854-4228. We have about 20 minutes left in the show. And we're going to talk, like we were talking with Jeff Capellini before. Thank you to him again for coming on and giving us a little bit of his time. We were talking about Tebow being cut, and we want to touch on some of the notable cuts around the NFL. And first, I want to start with Tim Tebow.
Okay. Not surprising.
No.
He doesn't see, again, like, one thing that's really being said about it is he's a completely different style of quarterback than Tom Brady is. You can't have a backup quarterback that, when he comes in, you have to revamp your entire offense in the middle of a game. It really kind of screws up the flow. You guys are already in a groove at that point, so you would hope anyway.
Right.
So having Tim Tebow come in is not going to be conducive to success.
No. I don't see, and again, I'm not bashing. I understand. I've on many a show, whether it be podcast or live show, I've said before, I don't like him.
Right.
I just don't see him as an NFL quarterback. And honestly, I get a little bit cocky and I get a little bit thumb my nose at people now because I told you so.
Right.
This is your third fail. You won a playoff game in Denver and then got humiliated by the Patriots.
Yes.
You go to the Jets, granted they didn't use you, and now you go to New England and you can't even make it out of camp.
Right.
I told you so. You're not an NFL quarterback. Maybe if he was in the same crop of people that RG3 was in and Colin Kaepernick was in that read option style type of quarterback class, maybe 2 more years down the road he would have been that guy. That could have been drafted, but when he was drafted at the point, no, he didn't deserve a first-round pick.
Not at all.
His throwing style is too slow. He has no field recognition. He doesn't know how to recognize a play.
Right. He's very awkward in his passing.
Yes, he's herky-jerky. And you think of the greats, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. And I'm going to go greats now, not greats in the past.
Right.
Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Everything is get it, bang, go. Even Russell Wilson now. Compare the throwing style from Russell Wilson and Tim Tebow. It's a night and day difference.
Mm-hmm.
even if you want to go lefty to lefty, look at a guy like Mike Vick. Mike Vick may not be the best quarterback in the world, but he gets the ball out fast.
Right. Right. And like you said, I mean, the one thing about Russell Wilson is that most of the mobile quarterbacks don't do is he squares up to his receiver to make the throw, which makes him much more accurate as opposed to some most of these mobile quarterbacks that like to try to throw across the body.
Right.
So, all right, let's see. Who else we got here? Start going team by team just to see if there's any big notable cuts.
I can't find that. I'm kind of jealous right now. I can't find that.
Yeah, there's really nothing that really jumps out.
Well, Vince Young, everybody had him locked up as, oh, he's the backup to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. This is going to be great. Hey, Joe, what do you think about Green Bay?
Well, the Packers, I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bunch of fags. and everybody knows it. They shouldn't even be allowed to play with the other guys because they just don't deserve to be there.
According to Joe, they're a bunch of British cigarettes.
Yes, wow. They are. Cigarettes?
British cigarette is a fag.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Or a pile of sticks.
I sort of meant the girly way.
Oh, know. Okay. I was trying to keep it clean, Joe.
Nice.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
The other Gronkowski was cut by the Browns, Dan Gronkowski. He's not going to be playing in the NFL this season, right? Well, as of right now.
As of right now. Jonathan Dwyer from Pittsburgh gets cut, which is kind of weird because Le'Veon Bell is hurt, who's supposed to be the starting running back for Pittsburgh.
Right.
And now they have Felix Jones as their backup. Like, again, Pittsburgh, Madden team, rebuilt. I don't see it.
Right.
Antoine Winfield, we talked about Seattle with Jeff. Antoine Winfield wasn't going to make the cut. Think about a secondary where Antoine Winfield, who's dominated for the last 10 years, does not make your cut. He retired.
Yeah, it's... I don't know.
Yeah, I...
I don't, I'm at a loss for words about that completely. Yeah, I mean, just rolling through this quick. I mean, there's really nothing out there that's really kind of stand out. Like, holy Christ, I can't believe this guy didn't make the team.
Austin Colley got cut by the 49ers. I know he got cut, and I would like to see the Jets take a look at him, but it was nice to see him stay healthy
right through
all of camp. Austin Colley has taken a couple of vicious hits and had a couple of major concussions in his career already. Ryan Lilja with the Broncos, he had a cranky knee the entire camp, and they wound up letting him go after the preseason.
Right.
Greg McElroy, like we said before. John Skelton actually didn't make the cut. If you're watching Hard Knocks on HBO, fantastic show, by the way, the talk was going to be who was going to make it. Was it going to be John Skelton or was it going to be Josh Johnson? Josh Johnson, lo and behold, won the battle. So John Skelton is now a year removed from starting for the Arizona Cardinals, is now looking for a job.
Right.
Tony Moiaki, who was I thought was going to be amazing with Kansas City.
Apparently
he was on the waived/injured list.
Right.
He's gone. Looking here, NFL.com actually has a full list of the notables, quote-unquote.
That's what I'm looking at. David Carr cut by the Giants.
And I said that to you that they were going to keep Nassib.
Right.
You can't draft him and not keep him.
Right.
Because if you really think about it, guys like Eli, that draft class, Eli Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, they're all in their 10th years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you forget. I look at Eli, I still think, oh, Eli's still a rookie. Like, yeah, you know, he's baby-faced, whatever.
Right.
No, he's a 10-year vet.
Yeah, he's a salty veteran at this point.
It's time to get those other guys in there. Even, I'm not saying Ryan Nassib's going to take over the world.
Right.
But if he stays for 2 years and Eli breaks down just a little bit, maybe you see Nassib in there in a more predominant role.
Sure. I mean,
it depends. We don't know. The thing is, we could talk football as much as we want, but the inner workings of a team we have no idea about. Because they're the inner workings. People keep it hush-hush. We don't get to see, well, this guy is going to be projected. He's in high school right now, but in 4 years, when Eli's in his 16th year, yeah, that's the guy we're going to target. Like, we don't get to see that yet.
Exactly.
I think Nassib is a stopgap, God forbid, of anything.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Giants also cut Kyle Bosworth, which is the nephew of the Boz.
The Boz.
So, I just wanted to bring that up as It makes me giggle.
Dennis Dixon, quarterback for Philly, didn't make it. You have Matt Barkley, Nick Foles, and Michael Vick. There was an odd man out. You knew it was going to be Dennis Dixon. Taking a look, Lance Ball, running back for Denver Broncos. He's gone. Not Monte Ball. Basically, Knowshon Moreno, Ronnie Hillman, and Monte Ball are going to be the three-headed monster in Denver. Knowshon Moreno is probably going to be a third down back. We just don't know. Right now, it's flip a coin on the Ronnie Hillman, Monte Ball decision on who's going to be the every down back. I took a gamble and took Monte Ball. I didn't handcuff him with Ronnie Hillman. Lo and behold, they don't know if Monte Ball is going to start. So, Austin Davis, quarterback for the Rams. Kellen Clemens wound up getting the backup job to Sam Bradford. Anthony Allen and Delone Carter for Baltimore were Ravens trade for Delone Carter, and then within a week they cut him.
Yeah. Okay. No, whatever.
And Dan Carpenter, really quick on the Jets, and I hate to be a homer and keep talking about New York teams, but Nick Folk is your kicker. I can't believe we're ending the show on a kicker. You bring in Billy Cundiff, who was on Baltimore last year.
Right.
And then they have Justin Tucker. I always laugh because Justin Tucker. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They bring in Cundiff for a kicking battle. Cundiff doesn't make it. You think, all right, Nick Folk can breathe easy. 2 days later, they signed Dan Carpenter. Dan Carpenter was from Miami. Right. Pro Bowl kicker. He lasts a week, and they cut him. Does Nick Folk have pictures of somebody?
I don't know. But, I mean, Nick Folk's not a bad kicker.
He's not a good kicker either.
Well, but at the same time, neither is Dan Carpenter.
If you gave me the choice between a Pro Bowl kicker and Nick Folk, I'm taking the Pro Bowl kicker. I'll take a mule over Nick Folk right now.
But at the same time, you got to look at what they were doing on the field. If one's struggling over the other, the other one's going to win out, obviously. But the kicking competition was very tight. And when you have a tight competition, who do you go with? If you and I are kicking and we're hitting the same thing, we're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but you're the one who was on the team last year, who do you take? There's some loyalty to be considered.
I agree. I didn't look at it that way. That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
So I think that's I think that's exactly what they did. I think they said, well, you know, you guys are neck and neck, but you were here with us last year. We're going to go with you. And because the other one did really nothing to outshine Nick Folk. So, you feel bad for Matt Leinart?
No.
That poor bastard. He signed with the Bills last week, got cut by the Bills, couldn't beat out an undrafted rookie free agent quarterback for the week one starting position.
But he's not... He's Tim Tebow.
He's worse than Tim Tebow.
Lefty?
Tim Tebow, in my opinion, was more successful than Matt Leinart.
College careers were kind of parallel. They both won national championships.
Right.
Granted, USC basically bought their national championship. That's the team that had Reggie Bush on it.
Yep.
Quarterbacks coming out of college are so hit and miss.
Absolutely.
Which is why it's so shocking to see a quarterback class with Roethlisberger, Manning, and Rivers, and then RG3 and Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck gets lost in the shuffle a lot lately.
Because he's a different style. He's a different style of quarterback. He's more of a pocket passer.
Conventional.
Right.
And the NFL is anything but conventional now.
At this point, yeah.
It's a passing league.
Passing.
But you want to call it a passing league, some of the guys that are... quarterbacks that are in the passing league have legs too.
Yeah.
And that's that dual threat. And I hate what Ron Jaworski said last week when we talked about Colin Kaepernick being the greatest quarterback ever, basically, or he's going to be. But I don't know. I really don't know, man. I wish there was more of a definitive yes or no with college quarterbacks. I mean, Andrew Luck was touted from freshman year.
Right.
Like LeBron James was when he was like a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, this is it.
Right.
I don't know. Matt Leinart, to me, I can't feel bad for someone. That's why I don't feel bad for Jamarcus Russell. I don't feel bad for Timmy T.
Right.
I can't feel bad for someone that's been touted for so long and you get drafted and you're a bust. can't help it. You just, you haven't been able to translate over.
Right.
Who do we have coming on after us? We got the Sully Show, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Nice. We got the Sully. Something was that, like that. Noon to 2?
Noon to 2.
Sully.
That's right.
Live exclusively on morelikeradio.com. Sully's actually in the chat room right now. Hello, Sully.
Hi, Sully.
Hi.
But one thing I want to touch on real quick before we start wrapping things up.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, NFL Network, 9 o'clock. A new season of the football of A Football Life starts.
Delightful show. Winner of 2 Emmys.
I got to be honest with you. This show, a personal favorite of mine. Anything by NFL Films is fantastic. And it's gotten my wife a little more into football, understanding more about certain players and certain units like the Fearsome Foursome and things like that.
Likewise, Hard Knocks is very big for my wife. That got her really in.
Right. But this week, 9 o'clock, NFL Network, check it out. It's LaDainian Tomlinson's kicking the season off this year. So,
you got LT this year. You got Strahan this year.
Strahan's this year.
It's going to be another good season. The first football life I ever watched was the Bill Belichick one.
Okay.
It was like multiple weeks.
Right.
They followed him around for an entire... He's still a douche. He really is. I don't like... He has the personality of a wet sock.
That's
like,
fantastic.
He's got nothing. He brings nothing to the table. Nothing. All right? If you would have stood and not bolted the Jets head coaching job after a day, you dolt, maybe we would have had something to hang our hat on.
Maybe.
Jerk.
Maybe. But with that being said, I think it's about time to start sending out the plugs. Again, you listen to Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tattoos and touchdowns. We throw up all of our videos, articles from the NFL Network, questions, things like that, always up there. You can follow Chris at TNT Espo on Twitter. You can follow myself at TatTDWill, TATTTDWill. Follow More Like Radio on Twitter.
At More Like Radio. Tattoosandtouchdowns.webs.com is the website. We're going to have a couple of more writing samples coming up in the upcoming weeks. Next week, we unveil the Pros versus Joe segment.
That's right.
We'll also have the we'll talk about fantasy again. If anybody wants to call in, we'll have the five versus five segment, which is going to be Will and myself taking five games and going heads up against each other, and the fans are going to decide what the loser has to do for the winner. Non-sexual, you dirtbags.
I'll do anything, but I won't do that.
Thank you, Meatloaf. What else do we have? Is there anything else?
You check out Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yes, as always.
Head over to the Facebook page there.
Phil's being a holy roll today. He's in church.
That's right.
Church.
That's right. Again, check out the Sully Show coming up right after us from noon to 2. Ham Radio every Tuesday. Joe, are they 9 to 1?
9 to 2, 1. 4 hours of unrestricted foreplay.
Wow. That's... Those guys are absolutely out of their minds, by the way.
The uncrowned kings of reality radio.
Absolutely.
I'm almost scared to be in the room with these guys.
I can't say that I blame you.
Well, yeah, I mean, they think of things that can actually hurt you.
Well, they had Kendra Lust on last week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course, as soon as I was listening on my way to work, and of course, as I got to work, Kendra Lust calls in, and I'm like, great, now I have to go out on the truck and I can't listen.
She was fabulous. She gave Hammy the best sex I think he's ever had.
But Hammy's voice throughout the entire thing, because as she called in, he's like, yeah, you like that? Yeah. I'm like, oh, like you're like an elevator operator now, Hammy. You're killing me.
Well, you know, Hammy's not one for being excitable.
If I had the slide, it was like... Like, everybody was half-masked on that one.
I tell you.
That's
practically
fantastic.
Limp.
But head over to morelikeradio.com and check out the schedule. Plenty of great shows.
We replay every Tuesday night from midnight to 2 a.m. on TuneIn.
Right.
On the TuneIn app, and which is free, by the way, for Android and for iPhone. And we're on Friday afternoons from noon to 2 p.m. Ooh. On the replay. So if you can't get the show in the mornings, you always got us right there, and it'll be a good lead-in. Well, actually, no, you can't, because we're going to be doing the Sunday picks on Sunday morning. So, no, you just need to listen live. Just do it that way.
Yeah, it's much easier that way, and, you know, you'll be more up to date with everything we're doing.
And you'll win office pools.
It's true. We're actually pretty good at picks.
Yeah, my wife wasn't going to do her office pool, with friends, and she's like, I'm not going to do it. I yelled at her in the car. Like, literally. I was like, what, are you crazy? Like,
yeah.
You out of your mind?
Got to bet the ranch,
like,
man.
Like, I win money. Like, I'm good. Let's
right.
go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's what we're going to be about.
Absolutely.
But on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for listening. Again, you've been listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. And we will see you next week, again, 10 a.m. to noon.
And stick around for Sully.
They are who we thought they were. We'll be right back.